Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shift. No, you haven't. Good grief. I'm on the wrong day. This is Thursday. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and you've tuned in to Radiance by Design. This is a show all about you. We're going to talk tonight. We're going to further our conversation with little bits and pieces about projections. What are projections? How do we stop them? Did you know that every one of us is projecting all the time, whether you're receiving, listening, experiencing anything? That's amazing. And where do the projections come from? They come from all of your lineage, your soul's journey, your life in different cultures, and so on. And you and I know we're living in a time called the time of the shift. And during this time, many, many of us are consciously wanting to emerge from the sea of projections and be in the world, ready to, and I was just interviewing Swami Biyandananda, Steve Behrman, who is a co-author of Conscious Evolution. He was here in Bellingham on Monday, and we had a wonderful time. It's going to be the third of my television series. And we were talking about the conscious evolution is all about that rising consciousness within us, where we're going to, and we have to have some choice here. We know that already, don't we, ladies and gentlemen? We know we have to choose our attitudes in the moment. We have to choose every decision we make, every thought we think, all of that kind of stuff. But anyway, as we make these choices and as the energy fields move up and as the universe inspires us with these shots and downloads that come through us, and as the pot boiler called Planet Earth and those on it is heating up and making certain aspects of it, requiring recovery or maybe even unrecoverable, there's new life being born. And as we move through it, ourselves as a species knows about that there is this shift and that we will have to move into the kind of consciousness where we work as a community, where the whole human species is going to function in much more of a unified field, we already know about the field, but to the fact that that unified field is kind of the mother of us all, or the father of us all, and we're going to have to work with that kind of consciousness instead of thinking, I have to be the one who gets to be important. I have to be the one who's really the strongest. I have to be the one who's leading the corporation and so on. We're going to get so that we actually have to work for the good of the group. Woohoo! And that includes Mother Earth and our relationship to the universe. So I wonder how that's all going to happen. It requires a huge, huge surge of consciousness. Now, I started off asking about projections and where do they come from. So as we say, we want to make choices in every moment so that we can emerge from a collective that had been very, if I've got it, you don't, if you've got it, I don't, from that into a much more compatible with what everybody, a win-win, and knowing that, as I said, the field mothers us all, projections, when I'm projecting to you, maybe I project things like this, oh, they'll really like this, or they'll like me better if I'm this way, or that person's got to be judging me. Those are sort of puny little projections, but they happen all the time. So the trick is that we've got to stop and really assess in the moment, what am I projecting out there? And is it coming from my family of origin? Is it coming from my cellular history? What is it coming from? And, you know, the more we see, the more, you remember the power of the observer? We've heard that a lot, that if you really observe something, you actually change it. You actually make a difference. So we can do that with ourselves as well. The power of observing our projections in ourselves is a power that will take us more and more into our peaceful center and into our true nature, and will absolutely change how you move out into the world, into our society, with all of your brilliant ideas and your great unfoldment. So now, that was a long preamble, wasn't it? This is Radiance by Design, and I'm always happy to say that Radiance by Design is a show all about you. It's a call-in show, and it's a show where we do some kind of conjoint meditations. And as we pick up speed during the shift, the thing I love the most is that as we do a conjoint meditation, we're actually building a field of coherence, aren't we? We're actually moving into the field and building a field that all of us are a part of or all of us receive that literally mothers and nurtures us all. So let's do it. Because we had Jonathan Goldman on and Paradigm Shifters, and I hope somebody's going to give me some feedback. What did you think of Jonathan Goldman? Oh, my goodness, I thought it was a wonderful show myself. What did you think? He's pretty famous for his sound healing work. Those of you who missed it, get it on the archives because it was really fun. More than fun, but being a profound sound healer, he was actually at Woodstock. So we were talking about how rock music has actually shifted the field, talk about the field, and our ability to open to higher frequencies. But anyway, that's a part of that show. But I would like to, in honor of him, go back to something that I used to do all the time, which was to lead you in or share with you a chakra sound meditation. And what we'll do is go from the bottom chakra to the top. We're going to make the red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Each one of them has a specific sound. We're going to make that sound all the way out to the end of the breath. Take a deep breath. Come back in. We should at least do two per chakra. So we'll do two red sounds to the end of the breath, and two orange, and two yellow, two green, two blue, indigo, and violet. Okay? And by then, I want you to pay attention to how or whether you can pick up and perceive that we're creating a beautiful, coherent field, or we're adding to the field in a conscious way. Again, that's creating unity, support, and love for one another. Are y'all ready? Okay. Close your eyes unless you're driving. Okay. I don't even know if you should be doing this if you're driving, although I very often will sing my chakras when I'm driving. I don't think I've ever fallen asleep doing this unless it's midnight. Okay. Ready? Yeah, the warning is we should never be doing our meditations while we're driving the car. So pull over if you're driving. It doesn't take very long. Couple of breaths in order to calm and detoxify. Focus on the base of your spine. The color is red, bright, clear red, and the sound is deep, going with the primitive drives, our tribal chakra. I always feel there's like a really deep, profound creativity in there as well. Ideally, you can feel that red chakra buzzing. Let's do it one more time. Now move to the second chakra just below the navel, the intestinal tract, the area of karma. The sound is ooh, and the color is orange. Ooh. Swirl that color around that second chakra. The second one's Third one is your solar plexus, yellow like the sun, and the color is yellow, as I said, and the sound is, it's a little higher. Well, it's your personal power center. That's where your real nature and your real personality comes through. So that means it can be cluttered by defense, right? And you can make up all the things that can get in the way of our real personality and want to express for you in the world. So let's clear it with bright, clear yellow and the sound O, and see if we can't get a clear access to our real self. Getting it, and a couple of you have got sort of stomach aches as if your power issue has been cluttered by others, because it's a very empathic center. Well, they all are, aren't they? Do the green one. Green is your chest area, and remember that your lungs have a lot of karmic grief, and the chest is love, but it's all those issues that go around love, loss, disappointment, endings, beginnings, creativity, expansion, excitement. Highly charged, it's green, and the sound is, sing it, stretch that ass sound. Anything in your arms when we do the green in the chest? Let's do one for our arms, green, and have it run right down our arms, okay? Wonderful. You feel your fingers tingle. Let's move back up and into the throat chakra. It's blue. It's supposed to be an eggshell blue, I hear, but mine used to go into this kind of really intense blue and sometimes intense turquoise. So follow your colors. There'll be shades of the blue and maybe other colors. We'll see. And the sound is, hi. Now we sing. No, it's, hey. Are you ready? And open your throat like a bowl, not like a tube. This is where you transform your life, your soul's journey, and create the wisdom that radiates out on every word you say. Open your throat like a bowl as you sound a. One more right up into your ears. And I'll do eye in the third eye. I like that going up the ears. Did you? Right into the third eye. Deep indigo. And this is, moving into our higher senses, isn't it? Seeing and knowing beyond the third dimension. You can all do that. Ooh, somebody's got bright purple third eyes. I can see them now. Remember, these are vibrational centers, and you can literally vibrate them open. Isn't it? Good work. And the top of your head is violet. Brings in God, guides, angels, higher power, anything other than the self that you believe in. I love the top of the head. That's the crown chakra. And who was it used to call it the clown chakra? I think that might be Swami Beyondananda as well. Eh? Focus on the top of your head and see the amazing lotus opening to receive higher frequencies. Call them in. Top of your head is violet. And the sound is ee, ee. Ready? Wonderful. Now shoot a violet flame up over your head like a great fountain. See it shooting way up the top of your head, way up into the great central sun as a great violet fountain. And then have a golden light drop down in through from the great golden sun down to the top of your head and move gently and thoroughly all the way through your body, moving right down into the core of the earth. And have it bounce back up from the core of the earth and run right up your spine. And here we are back into our, we're purified when we do this. Because a lot of times we're talking about projections. And a lot of the ways we project come from storage in our body, mind, and in our chakras. And as you purify, guess what happens is you can start to see anew, see things more clearly. If you'd like to call in and talk about anything you want, 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. There's actually four numbers, so we could have the lines absolutely full finding out about your life. What are you doing? What are you learning? How are you growing at this time? What do you think of the shift? How are you handling political things? I often think that my politics, I often know that my politics in truth is becoming conscious and trying to seed a reactionless life. I haven't succeeded totally in doing that at all. I'm still a beginner in a lot of these things. But politically speaking, if we're working toward coming from the heart, if we're working about nurturing the earth and one another, if we're working on contributing and receiving and giving more easily, that can be our politics, can't it? So let's say I was talking about projections. Now I'm seeing some people out there that are in some tangles, and they are projecting on each other. I see these two people. They're not married or anything. In fact, I think they're friends or their spouses are friends or something. And they're looking at each other, and they're two women or I can't quite tell. It'll show up. They're looking at each other, and she's seeing this other person as one who And she says she can tell by the look in the person's face that this person is keeping her mate from being with her. This person wants the worst for her. It's really interesting because I'm looking and the guides are showing this picture because it's so obvious that what she is experiencing life from a fear-based place from her past. And so she's projecting it on this fellow. And he is her husband's friend. And he really doesn't have that intention at all, but she's projecting her father on. Now he is sitting there and he's projecting a real frustration on her, and that's coming from his own history as well. So he's looking at her as a typical, I don't know what he's calling her, sort of a typical spoiled homemaker from a certain area. It's really interesting, and I'm watching them, and it's kind of like a ping pong game. The looks that are going back and forth have little or nothing to do with the real situation. And her husband, of course, is suffering because I think he wants to go somewhere or do something, and she's so busy tangled up on the nature of this fellow that wants to go out with him that there's nothing sensible going on here. So what do we say? We say, okay, take a look at what it is you're expecting here. I'm asking her. I'm seeing her, and I'm saying, okay, where does your projection come from? Okay, what it comes from, the first thing the guide showed me in her body is that it comes from a real discomfort inside, a lack of trust, an unsafe place, and her life experiences so far have echoed that. That's been there since she was small, and I think it's been through several lifetimes, in fact. And so we're asking her to drop inside. We are asking both of them to, asking you to as well. Drop inside and feel where that originates. Where does it originate? Uh-huh. And so she, it's funny, she's arguing with me. She doesn't want to know. Okay, now she's dropped her folded arms and she's going inside and she's feeling really scared and really powerless. Now that's a really interesting place to be. What is it we do when we're powerless? We try to look at somebody and make up what we think they're doing. So let's call up that powerless feeling. And remember this, if we drop into a place like powerless and we're unconscious about it, then we're going to hold a defensiveness, aren't we? Now, defensive is it's very ironically true that defense includes the word fence. So there's a fence. We're all looking for love, and we're all looking for sharing, and we're all looking for compatibility or friendship and so on. Now what she's got is a fence up, and the people around her aren't liking her very much at all because she's feeling at some level powerless, so she's erected a defense, and then she's shooting these projections out from behind that defense. It's really interesting, and as I ask her to look, and she's looking, and we're going to run a little energy on the belly area. Yeah. And asking her to release her powerless feeling. Excellent. And it's clearing the stomach right now. And then we're taking a look and seeing what happens when she clears that and recognizes that she's been projecting at this fellow. And now she's looking at him. And what does she see? We're talking in the etheric. She says, oh, I see that he's really harmless. So they're all going to go out together, the three of them right now, actually. And she's much more relaxed. And also, ironically, she feels a lot more powerful. She feels more like she's centered in who she is. Isn't that interesting? What happened with you about that? So call in and talk to me about your life. We had a really wonderful time with Swami Beyondananda. How many of you have heard of him? I didn't used to pay too much attention to him years ago. But as Steve Behrman and Conscious Evolution, he really has had I've had two interviews with him on Paradigm Shifters, mostly about politics, weren't they? Yeah, and they were really deep and really rich in talking about the kind of stuff that you and I talk about on these shows, all about getting in touch with our deeper hidden motivations and trusting that we can work our way out of them for the sake of our planet. Our little exercise with projections was really good about that right now. The other thing that the guides were talking about, and I'll say a little bit more about Steve and Swami for a minute. We did an interview with them for Paradigm Shifters television show, and it was really fun. And I had put them up in a hotel because I had them come to town for the interview, and the hotel was called the Chrysalis Inn and Spa. And what's really fun about that is one of the things that they talk about a lot in spontaneous evolution is how our consciousness is like caterpillars, or that society is like caterpillars. And the caterpillars move along busily, keeping themselves close to the ground and keeping their understanding strong, one foot after the other. And then they begin to disintegrate. They begin to disintegrate, and they begin to disintegrate. And then they open up, and there's a lot of chaos, and the structures are coming apart. And then what comes out of it, you know, then they're in the chrysalis, and what comes out of it is the butterfly. So then the butterfly, instead of crawling along the ground, doing what it needs to do inch by inch, or crawling along a tree, the butterfly hops from one place to another, flits from one place to another, and is really very beautiful. So we all found it really interesting to enjoy this television show, this scenario with Swami, and know we were participating in a synchronistic event. I think you're going to love these TV shows. And the whole idea of the caterpillar is fun, too, because I often think that humans are like tent caterpillars. And tent caterpillars, at least here in the Northwest, several places in this country, are where you have many, many caterpillars, and they kind of have a webby effect. But if you push, it might be like a foot and a half across. If your trees are really stuck with them, it might be like a foot and a half across with little points and so on. But if you look inside, there's many, many, many caterpillars pushing and pulling and pushing and wiggling and all that in the middle of these odd-looking tents. I'd say they were like Bedouin caterpillars, except they don't go very far. They just sort of seem to have a pulse. But the reason I think that we're like caterpillars, or like tent caterpillars in a way, is because we all have our own little field, don't we? And we all take in one another's energy as we communicate and we talk about projecting. We're also energy beings, and our energy drifts in and around and through one another. So like tent caterpillars, if you move, or if you have a certain kind of consciousness, and I'm with you, then you and I develop a kind of a coherence, or I can bring in your energy fields and be one with your fields and take on your purpose or take on your projections. So then it becomes this weird meshing between people. And it's like, it's an empathy, isn't it? But we don't realize how many thoughts and feelings we have that have come from other people. We just absorb them. We're just in this kind of tent of the field. Oh, goody, you're on the air. I'm just going to finish this one thought. So we don't realize that we're absorbing all that stuff a lot of the time. So once again, it's another part of the art of releasing projections, is releasing people's energy, other people's energy, so that you can get to the purification of your own thoughts and feelings and have your own personal expression. And you are on the air. Hi.
Hi, Veronica. It's Dale from Florida.
Hi, Dale. How you doing?
Pretty good. I caught your show Tuesday.
Good. Did you like it?
What was his name?
Jonathan Goldman.
Yes, I'm sorry. Jonathan Goldman. And I did bookmark his website, and I did go into the Temple of Sound. And my goodness, wow, have I found a new website that I can go to and meditate and really plug in the earphones and just veg out on meditation.
We have to tell people at home, his website, Temple of Sound, he built it so that you can go into it and you can make sound and tones and have those sent out over the planet, right?
Yeah, I got to get a microphone, but just listening... Oh, my goodness. I mean, it was just a whole new level. And you know what? I also want to say, and tonight you're talking about projections. I want to put this projection out there. I'll be getting a lot of the numbers 333 and 111s for a while now. And I understand that the 333s or the Ascended Masters are close and listening. And I just want to put this out there. Thank you. Thank you, Veronica. And I want to thank Jackie in advance, too, for what you do, because I listen each and every week. And I want to thank the Ascended Masters for putting this out there, waking us, you know, putting us in a position and assisting us to waken us up. I am so grateful for all, for you, for Jackie. For it's just very humbling, and it's an awe-inspiring experience that this life is coming. I wish I could bring everyone with us, but in time, I think they will. And I just want to put that out there.
I really appreciate it, and I'm sure everybody does as well. And, you know, what you're putting out there is a wonderful gratitude. I'm talking about tent caterpillars, that really adds to the collective, doesn't it? You're projecting a wonderful thing out there. Thank you.
Well, I think if we can do this every day, and I'm helping others as well as being taught, I think we can change our political, the politics in our everyday life. I think we do possess the power to show others that there is an alternative that's for the better of mankind, and we're doing it now.
And it is a part of being. What's that?
I said just, you know, thank you for making this radio, you know, available and for being here. I live in Florida. I don't get your television, but, you know, I'm sure it is just as powerful as it is with you being on the radio here for, you know, the 2 days a week.
Thank you so much. You've just helped the planet. That's what I'm calling my politics. We just got to make ourselves better and radiate more and be conscious about it. Starts with ourselves, doesn't it?
Well, I got a little motto. If you want to use this, spread this out. And here it is. The status quo has got to go. All righty.
That's great. Thanks, Dale. It's wonderful to hear from you, and I'm glad you have such support. Thank you.
All right. I'll be listening to you next hour with Jackie. Have a good night.
Good night. Thank you. So that was wonderful, because what he's talking about is being conscious of our being, and that's really what I'm talking about as well. But he's very active about putting it forward, isn't he? So the thing about Jonathan Goldman, he's really made a big difference on the planet with sound. How many of you like that sound meditation? I should have asked Dale that as well. One of the reasons I'm on the air is because as an intuitive, as somebody who really cares about the vibration, the frequencies, and so on, I thought that radio, global radio, would be a great way to send, to participate with others, but send healing vibrations around the planet. And it's a great thing. Talking about tent caterpillars, it's kind of like irradiating the tent, isn't it? Not just me, but all of us that are doing this kind of thing. And so Jonathan Goldman, in his search for, you know, how to do music and sound healing and having a huge impact and bringing together sound healers from all over the world, he set up that website that Dale's talking about where people go in there. If you've got a microphone, you can go in and make tones and sounds. And I gather, I haven't taken the time yet because of the TV stuff we're doing. But anyway, that having people making tones and having sounds, because he wanted to send healing tones around the world. How many other people are doing that? There's lots of them. So we know that even though the world looks a little bit crazy right now, and that the polarities are really at an extreme, there is healing advancement being made. It's very exciting. Another thing I wanted to talk about, I've got all kinds of tidbits tonight, but I love it if you call in. You know that, right? So pick up that finger and get dialing. Who's got a dial phone anyway these days? The guides were talking about how our DNA, and this time in the history of humanity, our DNA, we can look at like a ladder. They were saying that in many ways we're learning to climb up and over the structure of the DNA. So they said to playfully, look at it like a ladder. I think that's a lot of fun. The other thing is a real indicator when you're holding back and keeping yourself sort of lower, keeping yourself on the, what Dale said is get over the, what did he say? Get over the status quo. Status quo has to go. I guess the way I'd say that, Dale, although I like that, is that it's got to reach a higher tone. You know, if we were all raising our field and frequency and the whole status quo was on a moving higher, more of an ascended realm, I think it would be all right. Anyway, one of the ways that, more than all right, eh? One of the ways that we can check ourselves for creating our reality and passing it on is to look at, and the guides were talking about this before this show, they were saying, look at your resistances. That resistances very often reflect a kind of a holding of a person's identity. Look at your identity. What are we hanging on to? So let's just take a minute here and take a look at the identity we have in the world, how you think it's described. Okay? Now remember that we are unlimited, we could be unlimited beings, right? We're vibrational beings of light. So take a minute and look at your identity. Okay? You're tall, you're short, you're a woman, you're a man, you're working, you're not working. Well, not working means unemployed, right? So you've got all of these ways of structuring yourself. You're funny, you're strict, you're afraid, you're sick, you're happy, you're defensive, you're, just keep going and take a look at your personality. You're just like your mother, you're just like your father, you're nothing like your mother, you're a rebel. What are your identities? What are the things that you're really proud of? What are the things that you're really proud of? Now, this is a time where we're going to evolve on the planet, probably whether we want to or not. So very often what happens then is we start to resist like mad. So somebody says, come along and learn this. And you say, no, or you hold back, or you're really tight, or you deflect them, or you suppress what it is they're saying. I want you to ask yourself what that resistance is all about. So once you've taken at least a partial inventory of what your identity is, let's just take a look at it. Then I want you to imagine yourself in a scenario and then resisting when an opportunity to do something or change something comes up. And where do you hold the resistance? Where do you hold your resistance? I'll tell you where I hold mine is I immediately grabbed it right in the belly, just below the navel. Really tight. Okay. Where did you hold it? And now let's ask our bodies or our body-minds, however you want to do that. What is it, why is it we're resisting? What is it you think you're doing? Okay. I'd rather you called in and told me what you're learning here. What I had was a really interesting feeling of holding myself because somehow I would be awash or taken over. It's really interesting. So there's something about my identity that would be washed aside by taking immediate action. Okay. And this is probably not true, but that's what happened. So I was in a defensive state. My resistance was a defensive resistance. So let's ask to bring that resistance up and exaggerate it. And exaggerate it. And then ask the guides and angels to take it. And what happens inside yourself? It's funny because for me, see, it doesn't mean that you actually go and do whatever it is. It means that the resistance or the holding pattern inside has just been released. And my own inner self leaned back as if she was really comfortable. I don't need that resistance. Now, when I bring the scenario up again, I'm very willing to go and do whatever it is. And I know that I won't be washed away in a stream. What happened to you? There are so many resistances because of, like, if we look at on a political level, let's look at the resistances of, for example, the oil companies to make room for alternative energy. What do you think that's from? Why do you think they're resisting? Ha ha! Huge marketplace. Why does it? And where does the resistance show up? Well, let's just take a look at that. Take a look visually and see where the resistance shows up on the planet. Because oil people who dominate the energy market don't want to lose their market. How does it show up? I'm not going to answer that. I'm going to let you answer it. But it's really a fascinating study if you want to just look at that. Because what we see with the great, the power structures on our planet, we're just microcosms of that, aren't we? And I see that in the resistances, and I'll just use the oil as an obvious example, but the resistances that I see set up that I said I was going to talk about, I am going to talk about, because what happens is where the resistances are, it separates them, that company, from an awful lot of people. People get cast out and people get released from it. It's pretty interesting. I just watched a lot of people fall away from the collective through that. Not sure what that means, but to me, I would jump at this guess that it means that they're not a part of the scenario. It's a very separate kind of thing. What is it you experienced? Let's see, other resistances. There's a lot of resistance to change at this time on the planet, and yet the most swift and operative thing right now is change. Okay. And so what happens to you when somebody says your whole life? How many of you out there are having to either change jobs or be without a job right now? Quite a lot of you, huh? Yeah. And some of you are really scared and some are not. Some are requiring that they change radically. And some are scared stiff. And the ones that are scared stiff are paying attention more to, there's several things going on. One, people are having a little trouble just coping with their lives as they are and feeding the children and so on. That's really hard, isn't it? And there are some of you who are watching and really afraid because you're not sure how jobs are going to come back into the market or how the system is going to morph. Think about the caterpillar. The caterpillar has to come apart like our security systems in order to allow the butterfly to come free, right? And the butterfly's not stuck in a tent, as far as I can figure out. And so when I'm looking for, at some of you, you're looking at options to change your careers, change and grow, change your style of work. And I see so many things that are happening on the planet right now. There's a lot of stuff going on that looks like brand new entrepreneurial businesses. And it looks like it takes a certain amount of change or a release of a certain kind of security understanding in order for people to make entrepreneurial changes that will change their whole livelihood and change how they get along in the world. Let me just see who's doing what here. So I see a family, or I see this couple actually, it's just a couple here, are absolutely panicking because their corporate situation is coming to an end, and they feel kind of like there's a tourniquet on. Well, the guy feels like he's going to have a heart thing at some point. It's not a prediction. He feels like there's somebody tightly holding onto his chest area. So we're asking him to call up that reaction, to feel that reaction. It's very, very powerful to feel the reaction and to know that the higher consciousness, super consciousness, comes through and fuels us when we're really creative. So to call up that hurt and pain and really feel it and command total release of the pain and then allow yourself to move your resistance. So that would call up your resistant fields, your anger that things are coming apart. Call it up and feel it in your body. Feel it, exaggerate it, and then make a grand change. You're going to have to take some steps, and you're going to have to make the changes that you want to make in order to participate in the kind of industry that's beginning to launch itself. What I'm seeing when I say that is that there are industries that are really amazing, like a lot in communications, in books, the way books are, media stuff, also all kinds of alternative energy, even though, and the guys are showing this right now, that even though there's this battle about oil and so on, there is a terrific amount of alternative energy activity going on. And we're going to see some tremendous changes, and we have to. Otherwise, time's up, right? We'll be hitching a ride on a spaceship. What do you think of that? So there's another thing here. That was a long kind of a diatribe, and you're not calling in. So I want to talk about something else, which is about... So I'm seeing two women here who've been waiting a long time for jobs, and they're really frustrated. They don't even know each other. I'm seeing two women, and both of them are getting, this is the other interesting thing, are getting kind of thin inside and really doubting who they are, questioning the lay of the land, and that's making it harder and harder for them to connect with and get the jobs that they really want to have, if you know what I mean. Because one of the things we do is we put our light ahead of us. When you put your light ahead of you, it's really important to do that. If you're feeling shriveled, and in your defensiveness, you just get smaller and smaller and hope nobody sees you because you're busily judging your unemployment, you're going to find it a whole lot harder to manifest what you want. So call up that shriveling instinct, both of you. In both cases, there are a lot of other cases as well, but in both cases, this, funny... In both cases, these women are feeling smaller, want you to call up feeling smaller and smaller and exaggerate it. And then I want you to bring in your higher selves and your guides and angels and ask for help as you command total release of that aspect of your nature that in fear is shrinking back. Total release, and allow that part of you to slip off and allow that there be a refreshment on your deeper vibrational self so that you can be charismatically directing toward a new job. And hopefully, in both cases, there'll be jobs that require training and rerouting in a market where, one of them in particular, we've never even heard of whatever it is that's coming up. Because that's another big thing that's going to be happening on the planet. That's just a prediction. Now, one of the things, too, about a lot of you who are off on Match.com and looking for relationships and so on, as the shift goes on and as people grow and learn about resistances and projections and so on, it's going to become more and more an essential aspect of looking for your mate is to learn where your projections are and learn how to stop at least some of them so that the real nature in you is going to come forward. It's really interesting because I'm watching and going, there's this whole drive toward change, toward the caterpillar, toward the breakdown of systems, toward things coming apart. So many single people wishing and praying for relationships. But until we get the new aspect of ourselves coming forward, and we're not sending out messages from that deeply projecting karmic or subconscious pile-up of material that defines us and defines our identity, until we can break some of those patterns, it's really a lot harder for people who are looking to find relationships that will last a long time because the breakdown has to happen. We have to be coming apart in order to find a higher level of self, and a much more conscious way of relating to all of life. in order to stay together. Because if we, do you see what I mean? Is if you get together with somebody and you're not growing enough, it'll be the pulling apart, the pushing of each other apart because of old projections and old beliefs that will leave you going through that circuit over and over again. It sort of reminds me of us having so many lifetimes where there are extraterrestrial lifespans of like 5,000 years and so on, but we've decided to do it in chapter form. And a lot of times in relationships, that's kind of what we're doing, isn't it? We're doing chapter relationships instead of clearing some of our projections and getting on with being our true selves. Anyway, what I'll be doing is seeing you. I don't know what's going to be on next week. I'm not sure yet. I have some ideas, so you'll have to put your name on my mailing list, Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, and I'll let you know what Paradigm Shifter is coming on next week. I don't know how many of you enjoyed Kathleen Kingdon and Dwal Kool on the Enneagram. I haven't had any feedback on that yet. We must get them back on soon, and we're going to have to get Galexis back on as their series. And in the meantime, I'm going to be with Jackie Salvitti and the team on ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness, and tonight she's going to be talking about parallel universes. That should be great, and I love to interview the team. I learned so much. Always feel changed when I work with the team. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying I'm doing a television series that just got started. We just finished the third episode, but it hasn't run yet, so stay tuned, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. I'm very excited about it. It's called Paradigm Shifters, and it's just visualizing some of those wonderful people that we've got on Tuesday nights. So I'd like to say to everyone, let's take in some light and blessings from the universe and breathe it out to this whole community of Radiance by Design. And for those of you who can, stay tuned. We'll see you at the top of the hour with Jackie Salvitti. Otherwise, many blessings. Good night.